to the Puck Guys Podcast, the best place for top hockey news and insight with, of course, a little West Coast bias. Now here are your hosts, Patrick Mahoney and Jason Lamb.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another 31 and 30, or now like 31 and 35.
Thanks.
Because I deleted shows on accident, and yeah, I suck. But today is the Florida Panthers,
ooh.
Is what we're getting to today. How you guys doing? It's Pat, Jason, Eddie. What are you guys up?
It feels like Groundhog Day. Thank you, Pat. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Maybe we've done this before.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Maybe five more times tonight, too.
It's all right. We're all tired, but thanks to Pat.
Yeah,
we're
going
to
do
it
Monday
on,
night. Yep. Got to crank all these out in one sitting. But we got the Florida Panthers tonight, guys. Mm. They finished last season 44-30-8 for 96 points. Obviously missed the playoffs.
So close.
I know, man. This team, I look at it, and then I look at it again, and then I look who's in net, and I just wonder, like, they're not bad. They're really not bad. They're close to being a playoff team.
You want to say that they're not that bad.
But I'm not Boston today. They didn't really add anything on the front end other than Mike Hoffman that really kind of blows your skirt up. But they do have some decent pieces on this team to be good. I really feel like everything is going to just center around what happens in net. Mm. What about you guys? That's it?
Podcast over.
Yeah, that's all right. No, I think the question is if Luongo is going to be enough because they have the oldest goalie tandem in the league. And Luongo is getting up there where you don't really know how many good seasons he has left. And Reimer has had his struggles as a starter, obviously, notably in Toronto. He was okay, I think, as a backup when he was in San Jose. And now he's found himself in Florida. So I would assume Luongo gets the start. I'm not sure it finishes that way. But he has a suitable enough defense in front of him that he's going to need to play well for them to have any success. And he did last year, so I think he has a chance. But it just, when are his legs going to give out on him?
Yeah, that's one thing. And I think hopefully, you know, Ekblad, although, you know, elite defenseman, young defenseman coming up, well, anyone would love to have him on their team. Had a little bit of an off year last year. I mean, he put up some goals for sure. But by all accounts, he was a little bit less than his normal self or where they expected him to progress. Yandle ended up kind of carrying the offensive load from a point total standpoint.
Isn't he like 900 years old now?
Close, just under.
He's like, he's really old.
But, I mean, then that kind of like puts him in with all the goalies. So Reimer's in his 30s, Luongo's 50 or 60 or something. I don't know anymore. They don't have, you know, they're going to have to spread out that goaltending part of things. I mean, they're both just aging. You're going to have to hope that the offense carries a lot of what they're going to do. Their defense isn't too terrible considering, you know, everyone, you know, that has got a lot of defensive woes. They don't necessarily have that. They've got a lot of pieces in the right place to make that work, and I think they've got a really good top two line in Barkov, Dandanov, Bukestad, and then, you know, the next lineup you got Hoffman and Huberto. I mean, that's enough to kind of move them forward, put in some offense. Their offense wasn't too terrible, middle of the pack, defense the same. They shot a lot. They were second in shots, but the special teams needs to kind of pick it up. It's hard to be a cup contender when you're rocking the 21st power play. But then again, you're talking about a team that just missed the playoffs by a point. They had a very strong end to their season. It was something where they needed to also get used to the new coach. A lot of things have kind of changed, not only with Vegas taking two of their great players, in Marchessault and Riley. I mean, that's a little tough to come back from anyways. But to also have a new coach in there and trying to work it out. They seem to kind of come together at the end, going 25-8-2 down the stretch for the last 35 games. So new start, I feel, new team. Hopefully it works. The goalies need to stay healthy, and they have to be a little bit better than they were. Same with some of the defense. But they have the potential there. The problem they're going to run into, too, is the top three in that division is going to be a little rough.
Yeah, it's hard to compete with those teams when you look at the star power they have on it. And I really think the only bona fide star in this team is their new captain in Barkov. And you know he's going to be good in that line with Dadonov and Bukestad for sure. Now you've got a real good, strong second line in Hoffman, Trocheck, and Huberto. Again, the question is Trocheck going to be able to do that again? He had his breakout year last year with 31 goals and 75 points. Before that, he had 54 points and 23 goals. So can he keep doing that? I think they're going to need him to do that. And are some of their younger forwards going to be able to jump in? They had a player who played in Denver, and Hedrick Bjorkstrand. He played on the line with Troy Terry, and he'll be up with the team hopefully for them this year. And Owen Tippett, who played in Mississauga in the OHL last year, was one of the top goal scorers in the league. So he's a guy who could break in after playing seven games with Florida last year before being sent down. So they've got a lot of good potential up front. And the big question mark, again, like we already said, comes in net. And then I guess the depth in defense after Yandel and Ekblad.
That's the killer, is after Yandel and Ekblad. Matheson, Fisick, and everybody else. Just kind of look at that depth chart. It's kind of like, all right, yeah. I don't think there's really anything to look at that's pretty on D. I mean, their forward group is really strong. I mean, I question the center depth, if anything. I mean, if Trocheck can perform like he did last year, that's two good centers. After that, you kind of got to see what you got there, where you have young players coming up. But adding Hoffman to that left wing is really strong when you already have a Toronto and Huberto, and then they already have Evgeny Dadonov and then Bukestad. I'm not worried about this team offensively. It's the defense and goaltending that they're really going to have to work on there in Florida. And I wouldn't be surprised to see them give up a piece in order to bring a defenseman over, because you can't just rely on Ekblad. He's had injuries the past couple of seasons. And it's a lot for a young guy. I think he's 23, Ekblad.
Yeah.
He's a young dude. And that's just a lot to carry on the defensive side of things, especially because Yandel's getting older. You don't know how much legs he's got left either.
22.
Or he's 22. He's super
way
young.
Off.
Way young.
Yeah.
And to put all that load on him and Yandel's a big ask. I just don't know if they have anything in the pipeline coming up defensively that's really going to be like, oh, we got guys coming. I don't see that for them, and that's going to be the tough part this year.
You know what would have been a good play? Going after Erik Karlsson. That would have been a good play. Because
no
I
taxes,
feel like,
baby.
Yeah, and you have to wonder if it's maybe just the Sens not wanting to trade him east. But, I mean, I don't want to get too far into that, but he would have been a perfect guy to really add. He's a perfect add to any team, but when you look at the depth on this defense being the main issue for them, imagine having Matheson and Karlsson and Yandel and Ekblad, your problems are pretty much solved at that point.
Yeah, but they were going to run into cap issues. I mean, the team right now only has 1.9 in room, and they're also missing their second and third round pick of this upcoming draft. So they don't have a whole lot of chips to move, and even if they were trying to move chips, you know, prospects or draft picks, Ottawa wouldn't have been able to really do much with what they could have offered, and they really didn't have the room to even bring him in there until next season when a few of those contracts come off the books. But even then, that's huge. I mean, they're not in a great spot moving forward, so, yeah, they're going to have to hopefully get to the playoffs, see what they can do. They've got enough ability at offense to possibly come in as an eighth seed or a seventh seed and see if they can, you know, make a ruckus. But ultimately it falls back when you get to the playoffs on your defense and your goaltending. And with it being such a big question mark and all the other ones being so within not only their division but all of the NHL, it's a little tough to see them doing much damage if they go too far.
What do you guys think about the goaltending? Honestly, I mean, Luongo had almost a .930 save percentage, a .929.
Bad
in 35 games. And he got injured. It was awful for him.
Both of them.
Reimer, .913 save percentage for the rest of the games, pretty much. I mean,
that's not too terrible.
You have Sateri. You have Antti Niemi, who played two games. Lo and behold, has a five goals against average. That's the biggest problem is in their net. I mean, how long can Lou play at that level before his body completely gives out? He's almost 40 years old. Or is he 40?
39, I think.
You got to limit the amount of games that he plays, right? I don't think he can play 60, 65 games. He's probably going to have to play like 55 and let Reimer play the rest if they want to make a playoff push. And obviously it depends on how close you are at the deadline and maybe where you're at and if you have to push him closer to that 60, 65 threshold to get in, then so be it. You're going to have to do that. But it's tough to play that many games. And we saw Lundqvist struggle playing that many games last year and playing in a not-so-great team in the Rangers. So it's always tough for the older guys, especially in net, especially with how fast the game is getting.
Yeah, pros for this team, they finished strong last year. They didn't have any real losses as far as the free agency market went. Their impact forwards are young and can still hopefully improve, and now they're maybe a little bit more familiar with the coach's style. Their cons are the division they're in. They're not cracking that top three between Toronto, Boston, and Tampa Bay, and the aging Lou and a less-than-stellar Reimer. Hopefully he kind of picks up his game a little bit. He's got the ability. He's a good technical goalie, but you got to bring it consistently, and that's probably been his biggest downfall ever since leaving. Well, Toronto was his biggest issue, and it kind of reared its head last year a little bit.
What about Michael Hutchinson? He's going to get some chances here if someone goes down and gets hurt, and I think that's their contingency plan, which
– That's the back –
I don't know if I'm excited about that.
You get lit up today. You got beat 5-0 by Nashville.
It's fine. I mean, I know Hutchinson. I've watched him play. I think he's good. He is backup material. He's now backup to the backup. They're not quite sure exactly where he's going to be, but they're not quite sure where Lou is going to be. So I think he signed for 2 years, 1 or 2 years. Let me see. Check real quick. No, just 1 year. So it's maybe a stopgap if there's an injury. Someone with some NHL experience can kind of jump in and fill up a backup role if necessary, or if Reimer once again kind of falters, or if it's Reimer who's injured and Luongo needs a break. You got someone who knows how to at least play at the NHL level. It's not going to be as big of a drop off from 2 to 3.
Well,
I want to. What do you guys think of Barkov getting the captaincy? Maybe over.
I'm okay with it.
I'm fine with it. I think Barkov's made a name for himself. Ekblad has too, but you know, at the same time, it's tough because Ekblad has been that blue chip piece that they've had. I mean, I think they kind of they're trying to build around that cornerstone, but. The thing is that team on defense isn't really what they're known for. They're not known for their defense. They're more known for their offense, at least a little bit. At least they were. It could have gone either way, so it doesn't bother me.
What are you digging out there?
What do you want to say? What?
Well, I'm just saying, like, do you think it, you know, he had such a tough season Ekblad did last year, and I mean, he was always kind of considered a leader throughout his career in Barrie in the OHL, and even, you know, he's always considered a man amongst boys. And he comes in, and he's been a great player and a great leader for this team. Do you think it hurts him next season? Do you think he is a little bit disappointed that maybe he wasn't given
because
the
he's Canadian
team,
and they gave it to a Finn? I mean, yeah, I think that's going to crush him, honestly. No, I don't. Honestly, I know what you're saying. I think it's cool. I think it's cool they went the opposite direction for that. That just shows you that he's a leader that is probably. What his teammates look they're the only ones who know about it, and they're the ones who look to him in the locker room, but we don't really see. I mean, everyone always assumes it's Ekblad, but it just goes to show you how much we don't really know that goes on in the locker room with the players, and I think that just speaks a lot to what value he brings to the team. I think it's a solid move for them. It's unexpected, and I think it's just going to give him more push to be better this season. And I mean, the guy's already an all-star, and he's going to be an elite player, so I think it's a good move.
I think he looks at his bank account and says, I don't care.
Yeah, okay. Give me
I'm the highest play player on the team still? Okay, yeah. Give him the C. Make him talk to the media. Yeah. I'm cool. I'll be over here.
Anything's better than having Garrett McKenzie as your captain did last year.
Yeah, I mean, Markov's 23, Ekblad's 22. I don't know. Maybe it takes off a little bit of stress from him.
Maybe we'll see.
Who knows?
Where do you guys have him finishing the division? I have him finishing fourth. Yeah. Still not good enough to crack the division spot with that defense.
Yeah, it's the same for me. I don't know how they could. You can't really put them in front of Tampa, Boston.
Stretch. All right, you got it. I have them fourth. The other side of this division isn't anything that they're going to have to really concern themselves with. They were one tie, you know, one overtime loss turned into a win away from making the playoffs. They're that close. Anyway, so they can't crack the top three. Those guys are either what they're doing or even stronger. So it's a little tough to break into that upper echelon, but they'll be in the mix for sure. They'll be where they were last year at fourth.
Well, there you guys have it. That is our preview for the Florida Panthers and part of our 31 and 30. Thanks for tuning in. Tomorrow we will have the Detroit Red Wings for you. and you guys can move on from there. You know where to find us, the Puck Guys Podcast at Facebook, Facebook, Twitter,
I would totally join
and
Facebook.
Instagram. You can go ahead and find us out on there. If you have a minute and you like listening to us rant and ramble on and on about your favorite team or your least favorite team, hit us up on iTunes, give us a follow and or a subscription, right, to your phone so
sure.
you can get every new episode that comes out.
Yeah. And please,
yeah,
please
don't.
I don't know what that is.
If you look it up, you're not going to like the images.
No, you won't. You're not going to be a fan. I wouldn't
be
recommend
prepared.
Googling that if you're at work especially. All right, guys. That's it for us. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow.
Bye, guys.